Hey, and welcome to Ahead of the Curve. I am Jonathan Gellner, and thank you so much for being here. This episode is brought to you by Baseball Cloud. Baseball Cloud's revolutionary software platform brings to life the numbers captured by TrackMan and FlightScope. This provides colleges, players, and facility owners around the world a turnkey product, allowing them to analyze their data using key metrics and custom visualizations on one intuitive user interface. Go to baseballcloud.com to find out how you can have your own data analytics department for your program. Data has a story to tell, and Baseball Cloud gives it a voice. This week, we've got two bonus episodes that I got from the Oklahoma Baseball Coaches Association Clinic, and I've broken them up into a college episode and a high school episode, and we will still have our regular episode on Thursday, and that will be Enid High School head coach, Brad Gore. For bonus episode two, we've got several outstanding Oklahoma high school baseball coaches from varying levels across the state. We'll start with Union head coach Sean Newkirk, who is also my head coach, 2018 state champion, and was recently inducted into the Oklahoma Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Then we will go to Visalia head coach Chris Webb, Heritage Hall head coach Breck Draper, Edmond Memorial head coach Luke Yost, and the closer will be Santa Fe head coach Ryan Phillips. But to start, here is Sean Newkirk on his Hall of Fame reflection, what his four pillars are at Union, and what being a mule means. Coach Newkirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Definitely. And so one thing that I want to reiterate to our listeners is just how awesome it is to get to work with you every day. And so we've got some really good questions for you today, but I just want you to know that what you talk about on a daily basis to our kids, you also live out with your own life. So you keep talking about being on time. You're the first guy here. Well, second guy here besides me because I've got a shorter drive. And then you're the last guy to leave. You're always doing things right. Like I've never noticed a time in your entire career where I've been like, Coach Newkirk didn't do the right thing in that situation. And so those are your two rules, and we'll probably go over those here in a minute, but I just want to talk about that a little bit because you're really modeling what you want your kids to do and our players to do. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that, and also congratulations as well to your Hall of Fame induction I guess 2 weeks ago now.
Right.
And so that was really an honor to be able to attend that. But anyways, long story short, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all that.
So you're looking back, and you started your Union career in 96. And so would you have ever dreamed that it would have turned out like this?
No, not at all. It was, I was driving back and forth for 3 years before I got this job. My mm-hmm. wife lived here, and I drove to Oklahoma City and back on the weekends, and finally, get hired on here through Benny Dixon and Mark Garner, the head baseball coach at the time. And my wife and I, up until last year, were the last two married couples in the same building. Hmm. But, it's just been an outstanding, wonderful journey. I learned, a little bit from Mark Garner from 96 to 99, and then Bill Springman taught me so much. I'm so thankful for Bill Springman and the things that he taught me. And it really obviously also started way back when I was young, mm-hmm. Being around my dad, who'd been in the big league organization and pitching coach with the Liberal BJs. And he he was very strong on the being on time, doing things right thing. And then, it's just reinstated again with Coach Springman, and he had taught me so much about that. And it's just one of those things where I was fortunate enough to keep my mouth closed and my eyes and my ears open and pay attention to detail. So
definitely. And one thing that I do love about you is that I'm able to approach you with a lot of different ideas, and you've got, a couple hundred wins, you've got three state titles, but you're always willing to listen. And so as an assistant coach, that just means the world to me that a guy being in your position will take in some different ideas that I have and from everyone on our staff, really, and try and mold it in a way that really fits what you're trying to do every day. And so, again, being an assistant coach, that's awesome to be able to work for a guy that does that.
Well, thanks. And that's just not to put a feather in my hat, but you know, the good Lord reaching down and saying, you need to hire this guy. And so the staff that we have, and one of my big things as far as, you know, the coaches that we do hire here at Union is that we want you to step in immediately and start working. Mm-hmm. Give us your ideas. Let us listen to your ideas. Listen to our ideas, what we have. And so that, you know, we're working together because it's all about all of us working together. It's not, you know, yes, my name's the head, you know, I have the head coach name on there, but, and everything falls back to me, but everything that you guys have, you know, instilled and helped out with is just, I mean, that's what's fun about the whole game of baseball, that we take things from one another. Right. So
we're all really good thieves of information.
Exactly. Right.
And so let's flash back to your first year head coach self. And you took over at Semester, right? Is that about right? Okay. Right. You took over at Semester. I'm sure it was somewhat of a surprise that, you know, because you go into the school year, for the most part, most coaches do, as the head coach, I've got an entire fall to try and devise a plan of how I want the spring to look, and you take over in December or January. I mean, if you could go back and tell yourself something, or you could really try and tell yourself, this is how I'm going to be prepared for this situation, you know, what would you go back and tell yourself?
Oh, that was quite a few moons ago. You know, the one thing that I did, I thought was going to work for us best for that point, you know, in that point of time, is that we keep going with what Coach Springman had instilled, which was very good. Don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. Very good. But I mean, we just got off a 2005 state championship and he turned the program around. We'd been to the state tournament several years prior to that. And I thought, you know, at this point of the season, being in January, I really didn't see the reason for me to try to change much of what we had going on. Now, mm-hmm. am I going to make the same decisions that Bill Springman would? No. And I don't think Bill Springman would want me to do that.
Sure.
And so I, you know, we were fortunate again to win it in 2006. But I just felt like the way the boat was rolling, just keep rolling it the same way for that year. And, mm-hmm. and we did change a few things, you know, the next year, you know, obviously with me being different than Bill Springman, but for the most part, we've just kept going with the way that we've been going. Now after, you know, each year is a new year. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to prepare differently, I think, in certain aspects because of the character and the team that you actually have in hand. It's not like a college where you can go out and recruit whoever you want to recruit and try right. to get those kind of players in. So,
right. Oh, definitely. And so something that I've really been immersed in, because I don't know if a lot of people know this outside of Union, but we've got an unofficial mascot called the Mule. And you said that Bill brought that to the program, and just tell us a little bit about that. And that's one thing that you've kept over the years, and it's almost, and you're going to talk about this too, it's a fraternity, and the guys absolutely love it. Like, it's something that's ugly. It's something that, I mean, it's not a sexy term at all, but the guys are just completely bought in because it's, you came here, you fought through this, you're a mule now. And just tell us about how that got started and, you know, how you've kept growing that over the years.
Well, like you said, it did come from Bill, and Bill actually called one of his former coaches that he had worked with mm-hmm. and talked to him about, you know, developing something like this. And it was, you know, to try to get the mule, you know, is it's a workhorse. Mm-hmm. The farmer puts the reins on him, and it's, you know, the mule knows right then that when the farmer says, let's go, it's time to go. And right. we're going to work. We're not going to worry about how we look, but we're going to go out and we're going to give our best effort each and every day, whether it's the practice field, the game field, the scrimmage field, whatever it is, we're going to go out and work. And when the farmer says time to put the reins up, then we know we're done for the day. Mm-hmm. So, and what goes along with that is that we also talk about, you know, we're going to have problems during the day, but when we walk into the indoor, we leave our problems at the door, because we've got another task at hand, and that's, you know, number one, being a great teammate, working together, And then at the end of the practice, you know, we're going to go back out the door and we're going to have that problem to face. Mm-hmm. It's easy to talk about, especially at an older age. But we, you know, we have to remind our kids each and every day, you're going to have that problem. Leave it here. Go get yourself ready. Give us your best effort that day and come back and go to work and give us your best effort. And when the day is done, you know, you can look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I gave my best effort every day. And that's all you can ask out of these young men.
Oh, definitely. And it doesn't, it takes some, a different kind of talent to do that. And you don't have to be a five tool guy to be able to be a mule, to be able to work hard. And that's something that I've always loved since I've been here. And, you know, we were mentioning earlier that you've been here for a little while, and our softball coach, which we share a facility, he's been here. He's got 800 wins. And you two are the epitome of lifelong learners, in my opinion, because kids are different, right? In the age of baseball that we're in, it's progressed so much. I mean, a lot of it has stayed the same, but a lot of the ways that we're teaching it are a little bit different than when you guys started. And so, you know, I just want to know, how have you been able to continue on that journey and just continue to learn every single year and just continue to get better?
Well, I think it's just the fact that I'm never satisfied with where I'm at. I don't want to be satisfied. The game of baseball, you know, to me, once you feel like you've learned it all, that's when it's time to hang it up. Mm-hmm. And so because there's that passion, I guess, if you will, that I have for the game, being around it for so long. I mean, I grew up pretty much from, you know, the time I could start walking in a baseball field and, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm still here today and obviously thankful to the good Lord. But just that every year, it's a new journey. It's you're going to have new things to face, new things to overcome, and understanding that the players that walk through that door, the players that you have, you don't get a chance to go out. So it's easy to quit. It's easy to the excuse, well, this is what I've got, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to going in there and saying, we're going to find a way with this group, one, to join them together, make them better young men, teach them the game of baseball, and the wins and losses will take care of themselves.
For sure. And I think the group that graduated last year really epitomized that. Like, you're this is what we've got. So, and halfway through the year, you guys, I think, you were pretty close to a 500 record. Is that about right?
That's about right, yes.
And then they got hot at the right time. They gelled at the right time. And then just talk to us about kind of how that went all about and how special that group was to you.
That group was probably the most connected with one another that I'd ever been around. And how I knew that was how much talk they would have right before practice or even after practice about the game of Fortnite. a lot of things that I would much rather talk about, but that's what kept those guys together.
Okay.
And they knew that because of the care that they had for one another, the loyalty they had for one another, that they would go in there and they would give their best effort. And they knew during the game that they were going to give their effort. And they knew the guy right behind them in the lineup or out there on the field right next to them, they knew that they were going to work for one another. Mm-hmm. And so about halfway through, we kind of figured, we sat down as the coaching staff and said, let's make a few changes in the lineup and see if that'll help us. The kids accepted it. The kids understood it. And they went to work for one another. Not for the coaching staff. They went to work for one another. Mm-hmm. And they played every game for one another. No one ever put the blame on somebody else. They always felt like it was a team thing if there was a loss in that night. And just quite an inspirational thing. I mean, the kid that went to the plate and won the game for us that night struggled all year long. And he could have tightened up. He could have faltered. But I went to him right before his at bat and I said, just go have fun right here. Whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Squares the ball up and wins the game for us.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I had that group as freshman coach here. And I will always remember the starting pitcher's name, Carson Boudreau, and he was on the JV2 team as a sophomore, which is not the team that you really want to be on, but continued to epitomize what a mule is, worked hard every single day, and got the start in the state championship game that they ended up winning. So that's just so special to me, and I'm sure you've had a few of those moments, but that really is really cool.
Well, especially with Carson, because when you say came to work every day, he was here mm-hmm. 7 days a week. Put the time in, but the thing with him is if everybody that saw that game noticed that kid was not throwing hard. Mm-hmm. He was not above. I would have been surprised if he ever got above 80 on the mound.
Yeah.
Right. But yet he was out there and he battled. He competed. He believed in what Coach Brent Robinson, our pitching coach, mm-hmm. had taught him all year long. And he wound up in the championship game in Florida, won that game. He wound up in the semifinal game in our regional, won that game. And he winds up in the finals of a state tournament and goes out and competed. Mm-hmm. And he knew when he left the field, because I went over to him in the dugout, gave him a huge hug, and he had tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
'Cause he knew he left it out on the field. And yet he was still behind two runs. Mm-hmm. And so I felt for that young man. Just can't say enough for the effort he put in all year. And it got to show in the end how hard he worked. So
absolutely. Those are the moments we live for, and just being able to see them with the fruits of their labor and, you know, winning a state championship, obviously cherry on the top, but seeing that, I'm sure, just makes the year for sure. But, if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about, or just tell our listeners before you go.
Well, as far as me being a person, I feel like I'm easily approachable. I have two friends outside of the game of baseball here in Tulsa, and outside my family mm-hmm. With my brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives, and the rest of the friends that I have are coaches. Just love the game of baseball. Love to keep learning. Love. You know, I've run across a couple of big league coaches that are still in the game, and they've been very helpful to me. Josh Holliday with OSU, mm-hmm. Coach Fulmer at ORU, Clay Overcash is an assistant at OU. Very, very helpful, very humble men that I can't thank enough for what they've done for me, and just know that I'm going to be out there as long as Union will put up with me, and just give them the best that I can each and every day.
Here is Chris Webb on promoting higher-level thinkers on the field and what his big five are. Coach Webb, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Definitely, definitely. So we've been texting back and forth about, you know, what we wanted to talk about. We've got about 15 minutes, so we want to get as much in as we can. I like your shoes, by the way.
Those Thanks, small off dead guy.
But you mentioned that you wanted to talk about how to teach players to be higher level thinkers. And man, you hit right home with me for that one. So tell us about how you're going about teaching that and coaching that and making your players think more and better.
So it's an idea we stole out of the classroom. We were going through the Common Core stuff, and they were always teaching and talking about our kids about thinking different and higher level thinkers. And I'm like, that's something I need to incorporate on the baseball field, because where I was at the time, we weren't that talented, but I thought we're all capable of being smart. So let's take the game and let's just make it at an elite level to where we're anticipating everything we possibly can. We're running through every scenario. We're backdooring people. We make a mistake, we're not worried about it because we're looking ahead. We're communicating pre-pitch and the stuff like that. So we got to a point where we go to the classroom, we set up situations. And then eventually it was an extension of they became coaches on the field, because my shortstop, my center fielder, my catcher, of course, was always talking and always being ready to go. And then it turned into, now, this is a life lesson as well, because you're going to get tough. It's going to get tough in life to sit there and bills got to get paid and things like that. And how are you going to pay those bills when maybe you don't have a job or things like that? You know, we really incorporated that because I thought it was something that you have to have.
And so for our listeners, tell us a little bit about BISAC, because, you know, it's not a very large school. So you've got, how many coaches do you have?
Me.
So you're it.
Yes,
sir. So you've got basically from 6th grade to 12th graders.
Yes, sir. I mean, I have the junior high. And the high school, we start junior high at 7th, middle schoolers. I have my principal keeps my book for me, runs my first base, but he's over there in blue jeans and cowboy boots and doing stuff like that. So it's me on staff, small school. Mm-hmm. Our ADM is about 90.
Okay.
So, and we share athletes because we're a small school. So like off-season programs, things like that, not really for us because we preach, we want you to play.
Right. And so, you're a basketball coach.
Loosely.
But the reason I ask is because just to give the listeners who are listening to the podcast an idea of what you're working with. And so you're teaching them to be higher level thinkers. And so we've established that as kind of the foundation, but practically how?
Great question. Just in the fact that we look at every situation where we run scenarios all the time. What would you do in this situation? Mm-hmm. We'll be in a drill where we inter squad a ton. Mm-hmm. We have our fungo man set up and we're always inter squadding and something will happen and we'll stop. Why did you do that? What was your thought process there? And it's not so much for me. It's I want you to say it so someone else can hear it. And I talk about asking questions. Don't be afraid to ask a question because he probably is. And if you ask it, you ask the question for him. And communication's huge with it. Things like that.
And so you just ask a bunch of really good questions, basically.
I mean, I don't want to say really good questions. Promote them to think. I challenge them in the thought process. And again, and don't tell me the answer you think I want to hear.
Sure.
I mean, I want you to tell me the truth, whether it's, coach, I don't understand this. I think this is stupid. Whatever you may think, let's talk about it and let's fix it. And let's understand that you learn different than he does.
Sure.
And he does and he does. And let's make it to where we all understand on the same path because we're all on the same goal. We want to win.
No, absolutely. And so, we're teaching them to be higher level thinkers. So during a game, walk us through that process.
You know, we'll sit over there and we'll, again, me and my catcher, I think he is, for me, the catching position is the most important position on the field. He's got to control everything. So he's always, we're always just, again, open lines of communication on, and when I first got there, I called every pitch and we kind of got a rapport, what I like to do and things like that. So I give it to him. And again, my job is for him to learn. Mm-hmm. And when we might get beat because he called a 3-2 curveball when we should have busted the guy in.
Right.
And that's okay because I want to know why, you know, and so we're always, we just do crazy stuff like that. We're on the verge of maybe being insane, but again, it's theirs. It's not necessarily mine. And
cool.
when we win, it's them. And when we lose, of course, it's me.
Definitely. Oklahoma is unique in that we actually have a fall baseball season for schools that don't have enough kids to play football. And so you guys get basically all fall and then you go to basketball and then all spring. And so I wanted to make sure our listeners know about that. But how has that been a benefit for you guys?
So we just play a ton of baseball and I think it's something that's extremely unique to Oklahoma. Of course, we're the only ones to have it. But so my guys, we come in and we start right around August 1 and our first games are August, 12th, 14th in that mid-range, and we're playing games against other schools. There's a state tournament. It's sanctioned by our association, and it's really neat because I feel like the fall ball schools, they're baseball schools. So playing each other in the fall, you're playing against some dudes that have the same goals in mind, and they're competing against you. And we play all year long mostly because you go fall, break, spring, and you got your summer ball. And that's what makes the fall really good too, because you're just coming off the summer.
Right.
Your summer's probably been really good. You're facing elite competition, and you go back in the fall, and it kind of slows down a little bit, and you're like, oh, this is easy.
Right.
Let's go hit, baby. And the weather's beautiful. It's much better weather in the fall than it is in the spring.
Definitely. And you know, coming from a large 2A school myself, I played summer ball with some small school guys, and I was like, these guys, they graduate with like 9 people. Great baseball players, because they do it all year long, and they're running trick plays, and
absolutely.
I mean, they're doing all kinds of stuff, and so I actually got to play with Ede Simon's group at Roth, and I think they had four draft picks or four guys that played pro ball in one class,
absolutely,
and so it's not a slight at you guys, but it's just man, they're really just good. They think a lot.
Yep.
They think a lot about baseball because they're not physically overpowering, but man, they're just good baseball.
True,
players.
But they play it all the time.
Sure.
And they're playing more baseball than. Anybody else because of all that. We played.
And they're together a lot.
23-9 this fall. I mean, the regional tournament. That's 30 extra games roughly that you played.
No, that's awesome. Well, another thing that you wanted to talk about was your Big Five. And so walk us through that and how do you teach it? And basically, how can I steal it?
Fair enough. Well, I stole it. I mean, everything we talked about, we had this talk with one of my coaches at school, our softball coach, and it was like, I got to do this podcast. I want to be innovative. I want to say something really cool. And it's like, but there's really not. You just take
we're
other
the
people's
best,
ideas. And
we're the best thieves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I stole this from Mike McDonald, who won a World Series at Wichita State. He's from Visai. And he said, There's five things you can bring to the ballpark every single day. They don't take anything other than this. You can always play defense, okay. Make a routine play. You can hustle, compete. You can be a good teammate all the time. You throw strikes. Mm-hmm. As a pitcher, when you're at home plate and you're facing a guy, sometimes that guy's better than you.
Yeah.
You can't really rely on what you can do at home plate. But when you're on the mound, you're doing your job. And play good, look good. So, you know, that's when it's look good.
Okay, so let's break those down one at a time. And just tell us, you know, how do you communicate that to the players? Or how do you teach it, I guess, in a practice setting?
So when we go through all of our stuff, we get in, we do PFP every day. We do in and out. We do those kind of stuff. So we break down to defensive drills all the time. We emphasize that. If you want to win, you've got to play catch. And I've lost way more games on the inability not to play catch than definitely. The ability to play.
Mm-hmm.
So we work on defense every single day. We stress it. You know, we don't want to make any errors. We want to do all that kind of stuff. But we know we're going to. But that's not the point. We don't want to practice those mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have a ton of people playing different positions.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my best pitcher is also my best shortstop and my best right fielder. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So, and that's fun, too, because when I bring in my shortstop to pitch, then my third baseman's got to go play first. My first baseman's got to go play third. And my catcher goes to shortstop, and then I bring a guy off the bench. And,
yeah.
So everybody's
like the National League.
Absolutely, absolutely. They talk about Joe Madden doing these double moves and stuff like that. I've been doing that forever.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So play defense is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Being a good teammate is something we strive upon because you can't always – when we play this game, and Augie Garrido said it best, it's a game of opportunity, but we talk about it a game as a failure.
Sure.
So you're always failing. And it's hard for you to always be in the moment, but it's very easy to pick somebody up when I say, hey, good job. You're okay.
That's
great. That means a lot, especially from a team leader, everybody that looks up to, because he's going to be in tight situations. And he knows that if someone tells me a compliment, I can repeat one.
Mm-hmm.
So being a good teammate is also very important. Hustle. We talk about competing and having a big heart. And we do a bunch of competitive drills and we'll push each other and, you know, almost in the verge of, hey, we're going too hard here.
Yeah.
You know, got a bunch of Western Oklahoma boys and they think they're tough. So, so competing is huge. Throwing strikes again, back to the ability to play catch is something we work on in practice. We play a game of 11 every day. So we're trying to hit a guy in the head, chest after we're done. Just to work on keeping my front side closed and driving through a guy, because throwing strikes for us is extremely important because we don't have a guy that's 98. You know, we got to move guys around. And I got a guy throwing 72, and that's hard that day. And so throwing strikes, going where you want to go, forcing contact, things like that, and look good. I mean, I think it's important. It's all about confidence. And if your uniforms fly, if you think you look good, it's going to be good.
That might be my favorite one of the whole thing.
It's important. I mean, it really is. Think about it. You got up this morning, got your hair fixed, put on this nice clothes, and you're like, I look good today. Let's go to this pocket. Absolutely, absolutely. Got this glorious beard. Don't mess around.
Man, you do. You do have an A-plus beard.
Good player.
Well, Chris, I appreciate your time. And anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners before you go?
I mean, I think your podcast is awesome. Keep on working, man.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
God bless.
Here's Breck Draper on what he does for his pre- and postseason meetings and how he gives a baseball test. Breck Draper, welcome.
Good to be here, Jonathan.
Definitely. Definitely. So, you are actually a veteran of the podcast, which I appreciate. And so you were way back almost a year ago, which seems like forever ago. But today I wanted to sit you down and talk with you for about 15 minutes. And we've come up with two really good topics, and they're very unique topics as well. And so let's just start off with your pre- and postseason meetings, because that's kind of what we're getting into right now, where we're getting into the preseason. We're about to start our season. And so walk us through what you guys do as far as communication with the kids and what you guys do for preseason meetings.
Sure. What we'll do is here in about a week, we'll bring our guys in before the meeting. What we'll usually do is we'll spend a Saturday. So we'll take a Saturday and we kind of know it's going to be an all-day deal. We've tried to do that during the week, and you eat up an entire 2 days of practice time. Meeting with these kids individually, to talk to them on a more personal basis with the entire staff. So mm-hmm. we've turned it into a Saturday kind of deal where we start them in the morning and we give them about a 20-minute block between each one, and we just knock everybody out all day, make a day out of it. But that week before, we'll bring them in and we'll have those kids first off vote on their captains, and we'll select our captains for our team that they're going to have their vote, and then our coaches will make a vote as well. Coaches' vote usually weighs a little heavier. Some kids vote for guys that maybe not necessarily be the best captain, just the best player.
Right. And, yeah, exactly.
So we want to have those guys in those places that not only what their teammates feel, that they're the leaders, but also what we see as leaders from them and how we can work with those. Then we go ahead and meet with those captains throughout the year, mm-hmm. try to meet with them at least once a week, and say, hey, this is some areas we need to work on, at practice. Maybe this effort on whenever we're doing some base running drills, we're not getting the effort we get when we're hitting live or doing mm-hmm. live situations. So, we just stay connected with those captains, and then our captains are also responsible a lot for, the effort in practice. And so, what we've started to do last year was if we had any issues with maybe our attention span or communication level or effort at practice, we'll stop and our captains will take off and do the conditioning. Yeah. Those five guys that were selected by their teammates that are their leaders, mm-hmm. the rest of the team's kind of watching them take the heat for their team. And then after that happens, usually once, they really start policing it and understand right. how important it is to make sure that they're leading out on the field and making sure they're holding each other accountable. So
right. I wouldn't want to do that again.
No, it's usually not pretty the first time, but, no, but it helps that. But after we select captains, we go to our meetings, and what we ask our kids to do is we want them to write down at least five goals, and I usually have them type it and they print it off and bring it in. But they're going to bring in five goals personally mm-hmm. that they want to accomplish for the rest at the end of by the end of the school year. Maybe they want to have a certain grade point average, or maybe they want to create a certain amount of time a week to work on certain things in their life. And, you know, it can be anything personally. And then we'll have five goals, at least five, goals for them as an individual player. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, I want to have a certain batting average. I want to drive in so many runs, steal so many bases. We have them then go and write, talk and elaborate on five goals for the team. And we tell them, you know, one of those goals can't be win the state championship. We don't want that to be just because everybody's going to put that as one of their goals. We want them to think a little bit. And then mm-hmm. what they'll do is they'll print that off and they'll bring it in. And we set our guys down in front of our entire coaching staff. And I picked this up from Coach Schaefer and Coach Boyer, my coaches at Shawnee when I was playing. And I just remember as a freshman going in and being so nervous to talk to these adult men and,
right.
and the guys that I was, you know, back in then, everybody was kind of scared of their coaches at first when
sure,
they first
yeah,
get
yeah.
the program. So it was a little nerve wracking in sitting in front of those adults, four or five adult guys that you may be tight with, but you're reading them their goals. They're getting comfortable talking in mm-hmm. front of you guys, in front of your coaching staff, and they're explaining what goals they have. And then we help them. Sometimes a guy may have a goal set too high. Most of the time it's a goal that's set too low, and they just a lot of guys just maybe aren't realistic. I want to hit 15 home runs. Well, mm-hmm. let's adjust that because you're maybe not, you know, our best guy last year at our ballpark is kind of hard to hit the ball of the yard. Maybe yeah. we adjust that goal. So we talk to those guys and adjust goals that fit them, that are something they need to push for, not something that's easily attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys underdo their goals and they want to, maybe they don't understand the role we think they're going to have. And maybe they don't know they're going to be playing that often. And so their goals are different, but
mm-hmm.
And then after we go over our goals, you get to kind of see a lot about the way they're presenting that to you. Maybe a kid's like, I want to do this. I want to do this. And then there's those guys that are like, I want to help the team do this. Or you can kind of understand where he's coming from, his
sure.
kind of mindset sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And helps with kind of maybe some of your evaluations in the player. Maybe you didn't know that's how he felt about mm-hmm. something. Maybe you didn't know that's something he was striving for. So you help them reach him, and we have them keep those goals and put them in their locker or keep it on their person at home where they're revisiting them and reminding themselves every day that, hey, am I working to get to am I on pace to get to where I need to be? Am I ahead of schedule on my goal? And we just go from there with the goal side of it. And then after we get done discussing goals, like I said, we'll sit down and we'll say, hey, where do you see yourself as far as your role and what's going on for this upcoming year? And some guys may say, hey, you know, I'm hoping to be a varsity starting pitcher for us on Mondays and Tuesdays in district play.
Right.
And most of the time, those guys kind of know who they are. Sometimes you get a surprise or two. And then you can kind of talk to them about, hey, this is our view for what we think. Maybe you're going to be a guy that's in the lineup every day, that's a utility player. We really don't have a spot exactly we have planned out for you because you're kind of a guy that floats around. You can explain those things. And you let the kid talk, too. It's not just the coaches talking. You have to let them speak to you and go about their – It should be a meeting, not a lecture.
Yeah.
And so we want them talking as much as we're talking, because what it does, it doesn't just give you a ton of, it's going to give you a ton of information about the kid, about his expectations, about what he thinks he's going to be doing. Maybe the kid thinks he's going to be starting and you're like, hey man, it's going to be tough for you to be on the field as a JV player.
Yeah.
You can kind of squash some of those things and lower or raise expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But it teaches them how to, when they leave here and go on in life, be able to walk up to their boss and have that conversation with him and kind of what his expectations are as a employee, or go into an uncomfortable situation. And by the time they do that 4 years, for the difference between a kid coming in his freshman year with his paper and he's shaking, and the senior that comes in that's really knows his coaching staff and knows what they expect. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see how much they've grown up and matured in the fact that they're not scared to go talk to adults. And we try to have an open door communication policy anyway. So it just helps reinforce that. So
sure.
That's our preseason meetings. I think it really helps us. And then we try to, at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
Most years we try to do a postseason meeting where an exit interview, even for the seniors that are going on, and just to kind of that last game of the year, usually most of the time for almost everybody, it's you lost the game.
Yeah.
Maybe you won your last regular. I don't know what that is, but it's very rare that you win your last game. So sometimes it's a sour conversation to have, and maybe you don't want to have it that day that it happened. You bring them back in a couple days later. Their mood is somewhat generally better. Your mood's probably generally better. And you guys can have a conversation about the year they had and what you appreciated about them and their career.
I love that.
That's that side of that.
Well, and then you also mentioned something that I thought was really cool. And you guys give a baseball test.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, man, Breck, so I got to take tests all day. And then I got to come take this test at athletics.
Yeah.
Coach Draper,
I know.
Walk me through that.
Well, and I got this, and all this stuff is not stuff that I made up. I got this stuff from my high school coaches again, and I thought the coolest part about this was that I took this test when I was at Shawnee High School playing for Coach Schaefer and Coach Boyer. For 4 years, I took this test, and you had to make 100%. You don't get a jersey until you qualify on the test by making 100%. And I'll kind of go over some questions, but it's situations on offense, situations on defense, maybe some of our philosophies, and then our signs. And you've got to answer what our signs are on the test so that we know you know it, kind of like in the classroom. So I've actually turned it into an online form test through Google.
Okay.
I took it over to that side of it this last year. And our kids, we're fortunate to be on a one-to-one program where all of our kids at our school have laptops. I'm sure there's a setting at every on every campus where you can get everybody in front of a computer. And then we have our coaches monitor, because kids are very smart about opening windows, and that's the only window they're allowed to have open.
That's awesome.
No phones, so they can't go back and look at their notes. We set that up where, you know, if you get caught cheating on this, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, and we'll have that conversation, but we don't ever have that. It's also much easier to grade when it's on this deal,
because
it automatically grades your.
Yeah, that's nice.
You have to read the short answers, so it saves a lot of time for you as a coach grading it. But the test, it's amazing how much they memorize your signs and stuff. Your first and third coverages, your bunt right. coverages. We make them draw out actually the bunt coverages. They've got a, on a actually hard piece of paper. We draw out where we're going on each bunt coverage we run. And it keeps I'm thinking, accountable.
Yeah, and I'm thinking. So this is how I usually do it as a coach. So I tell them, and then I expect them to know it after one time, sure. and then I'm holding them to a standard that's probably not fair for them. So this is a way that we can always insert something extra rather than, okay, I'm going to tell the whole team, maybe half of them get it and half of them don't, and then I expect them all to get it. But this is a way that you found to make sure everyone is getting
sure.
it.
Sure, and it has to be everybody. Right. It's not just talking to the varsity starters. You've got to – everybody's got to know what's going on in your program. Yeah. And the coolest part about this test, like I mentioned, I took it for 4 years. And I didn't have to, I didn't call Coach Schaefer and ask him to see a copy of the test.
Yeah.
I literally went off my memory.
Oh, that's awesome.
And almost word for word wrote these questions. And then I know cool. the answers. Now I adjusted it to maybe a little bit different style of question.
Right.
A lot
and
of
what
it's
you
the
guys
same,
are doing.
What we're doing, but a lot of it's the same. Some examples of like the offensive questions. You're given the steel sign or a green light, and you get a bad jump. What should we kind of do? And we're sure. going to have the kids answer it how they think they should answer it. Mm-hmm. And it's a general question. It's not a one word. It's not a certain church answer, church mm-hmm. Sunday school answer. It's however they feel. And if they explain it what we want them to do, then we know they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you miss one question on any portion of the test, you retake that entire section. So
okay.
not only do they'll miss a question, they've got to retake that test, but they've written that answer out several times over and over again where it's engraved in mm-hmm. their head. That's what I need to do in that situation.
Cool.
Talking about what are my three jobs as an on-deck hitter that we have. We have yeah. three jobs. They yeah. list those three jobs.
Oh, that's great. I love this.
When do we advance to the next base on a sacrifice bunt? And we're going to you talk about, well, hey, when you see the ball on a downward plane, but if they're answering that over and over again mm-hmm. throughout the four-year period, by the time they're a senior, they're going to not even have to think about it.
It's
just
in.
Something they always
absolutely.
And it's been cool to see some of these situations that actually happen in games, and they're like, hey, I was on the test.
Yeah.
I was on the test, and they'll give
awesome.
Each other crap.
Love that.
How do you not know that? It's on the test. So
do you just take it once? Like, so you take it
we'll
once.
We'll take it once as a group.
Okay.
And then we'll usually do two times as a group, and the guys that have already made 100 on it
yeah.
can will maybe be off hitting
okay.
as a coach or something.
Cool.
But usually we have the first time we take it, usually the guys that have been around, there's usually probably six or seven of them that will ace it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get about 10, 15 more that ace it the next time. Then you've yep. got some guys that maybe struggle with it because it's new to them, but they keep writing it down. They keep answering the questions.
Yeah.
And they just learn it so much. So I thought it was pretty neat that I wrote the test and didn't have to. And I played at Shawnee, but then I went and played for like, you know, some different college programs and independent ball level. And so I had all these series of signs, and the only signs I ever remembered were those
wow.
just because they were ingrained in my head. I couldn't tell you
that's
what
awesome.
We did my last year of pro ball for signs or mm-hmm. college. I could tell you everything we did,
yeah.
and we still use that stuff. So
no, that's fantastic. Well, Breck, I appreciate having you on. And if someone wants to reach out to maybe get maybe not your signs on
yeah,
your
yeah.
test, but if you have a version that you mind sharing, if they want to get in touch, would you mind them being able to
no,
do that?
No, not at all. Breck, or I'm sorry, bdraper@heritagehall.com is my email. And what I'll usually do is I won't send you the online version, but if you need help creating a Google form mm. or something like that, I can kind of maybe walk you through how to do that and
cool.
set it up for yourself. And then I can give you like our general questions from when it was on paper, and you can kind of make it your own and build it from there. So
perfect.
I have no problem. I've done that in the past. A few years ago, I talked a little bit about this at OCA clinic, and had a lot of people email me from everywhere wanting a copy of our test. And
yeah,
I have
cool.
to take our signs out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
I forgot.
I want
I sent
that
it to
version,
a guy in
actually.
Arkansas. I sent it to a guy in Arkansas. I'm not going to say who it is, but I pretty much sent him everything with our signs and everything and the answer key. And
yeah,
so
that's funny.
But it's a good thing for our kids. It really helps our guys know it, and then when you know things, you just play the game.
Cool.
There's no thinking involved,
right.
so it
Definitely.
Makes it easier translation.
Definitely. Well, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Let me take a few seconds to tell you guys about On Base U. On Base University is an organization that studies how the human body moves in baseball and softball. They offer certification seminars that teach coaches, trainers, and medical professionals how to assess an athlete's physical ability to perform movement patterns that are specific to hitting and pitching. For example, they just put up a blog post on their website, onbaseu.com, that discussed why hip internal rotation is important in hitting and how they evaluate it with their OnBaseU screen. If you want to learn more about OnBaseU, I did a podcast with the OnBaseU founder, Dr. Greg Rose, episode 78, and he talked about how he modeled the screen after golf assessments that he created for TPI. They are hosting pitching and hitting seminars in Phoenix, Newark, and Houston over the next few months. I will be attending one soon, and I hope to see you there. Here's Luke Yost on winning a state championship in his first year and what his three C's are.
Luke Yost, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man.
Of course. So, well, we kind of go way back. I was a fan of yours over the old Elk City Elks, and you guys handed it to us a couple times in baseball, and I was like, well, I apparently have to get better.
Oh, whatever, man. Western Oklahoma boys, stay together.
That's right. That's right. But I appreciate that. And then we played same summer program, so we've always had kind of a connection, and so I really appreciate all the things that you've done for me in the past and continue to do so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
I tried to hire you. I just couldn't get you.
Oh, God. Well, I appreciate you. Don't make me blush. We're on camera. but let's talk a little bit about... So, you were getting rolling with Inky Johnson.
Inky Johnson, man.
I said, let's record because okay. I want to hear all about it.
Oh, yeah. So, yesterday at practice, I felt like our guys are... Sometimes they just don't appreciate what they have, our facilities and just the type of program that we're trying to build. So, we walked into practice and said, okay, meet me in the indoor. They thought they were going to run. They thought they were in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And I told them, lay down, close their eyes, and put on the big speaker, Inky Johnson. And
my dude.
Just, man, he's awesome. And he's just, the message was, like, if you're not willing to give it your best, you can't complain.
Right.
You can't just complain and want to change. Like, if you're committed to our team, then you're going to do what's best for us. And we need to know that we can gain trust in you. If things aren't going good, when we get in the heat of battle, some guys flee. So mm-hmm. we need to know that you're a warrior, and when things are tough, you're not going to bail on your teammate and bail on your coaches. So our guys, man, we had a really good practice yesterday.
That's awesome. And did you guys talk about it afterwards?
We did. We followed up, and we're trying to – the culture we're trying to build right now is, okay, so – whenever we stop having to preach that and our kids are breathing that back into our program, I was listening to a Sports Animal. I'm a huge sports junkie. Mm-hmm. And Brent Venables called in and he talked about his defensive lineman, Wilkins, that came back for his senior year.
Right.
He could have been a top 10 pick last year.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to come back. And the first day of spring practice, he told Venables, coach me like a freshman. Don't treat me any better than I am. And so Coach Venables, like, he coaches my younger guys. They mm-hmm. know the expectation. He's the hardest worker. And whenever your best player is your hardest worker, it makes things easy. So mm-hmm. that's part of the reason they went 14-0 is their culture.
No,
and I love Dabo Swinney. He's a huge Christian guy. And so Inky Johnson, Dabo Swinney, just that culture stuff is kind of what we're doing in our program right now. This is my second year, and we're just trying to grow.
Mm-hmm. No, and I love Dabo because it shows that, and don't get me wrong, I love Saban, but I'm not Nick Saban. Like, that's not my personality at all. And I'm closer on the Dabo scale than the Saban scale. And so that warmed my heart that good guys can still win while focusing on the things that matter to them. Because I again, love Saban, but that dude eats, breathes, sleeps, and does everything at the office. And Dabo's like, hey, we got to spend time with our family. We got to go to church. We got to do all of this different stuff. So I love seeing them win, and I love seeing them be successful. And culture's huge. I mean, you tell me, this is the second year in your program, and you've been at two different head coaching positions and won a state championship your first year. So for me, down the line, hopefully I'll get a head coaching job. How important is that culture piece, and how important is it? And this is year two, so it's probably getting a little bit easier.
Right.
But from day one and year one, that's the biggest thing? Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yes. I mean, going off the state championship, I inherited a really good team.
Sure.
I had some really good players. So mm-hmm.
You set the bar high first year.
I did. I'm not going to take much credit for that. We have a left-handed pitcher that's at OU, mm-hmm. and he was a freshman All-American last year. So it helps to have good players.
Mm-hmm.
But the motto that we always broke the huddle with was family. So going back to your Dabo Swinney comment, that's kind of what we breathe in our facilities. Like, no one
player is bigger in our program. You know, if you don't act right, you don't do things right in the classroom, in the community, and you don't hold the expectation of what it means to be an Edmond Memorial baseball player, then you're not going to play. I mean, yeah. We hold each other accountable. And so just our culture, we're trying, like, every day, like the freshmen play catch with the seniors. Next day, the freshmen will play catch with the sophomores. Freshmen will play catch with the juniors. So every day they play catch with somebody new. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to develop, like, hey, we're going to help each other out, number one, but we're also going to treat each other with respect. And so we also assign buddies.
Okay.
So, like, every week they get a different buddy, and they got to tell me five things that they learned about their buddy. And it can't be, I play PlayStation. It's got to be, like, your sister's name, your favorite food, just, and we learn about each other. So we're trying to grow our team chemistry and our culture. And I feel like if we focus on what we can do better, the wins will take care of itself. I mean, we got some really good kids in a wealthy community. Mm-hmm. So we go read to elementary schools. My wife's an elementary teacher, so we got an in there. We go special needs kids. We went and they have a special need baseball program called the Miracle League. Mm-hmm. We help with that. There's underprivileged kids that aren't able to afford things. So we do a thing called Shop with the Cop with our basketball team, our softball team, and we wrap presents. We're like the elves. Mm-hmm. So the kids go shop with the cops. They get what they want for Christmas, and we wrap, and we just make a good Christmas possible. So
cool.
Our culture and our community are big things.
So we're talking about the kids that you've got, and maybe the worst problems they have is they went 0-for-3. And that's different than some of the kids I have this year at Union, where most of them, at least on the baseball team, aren't working or aren't starving at night. But some of the kids I have in the classroom, and that gives you a real perspective on really going 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. And so I'm sure you've seen the impact on them of, hey, maybe this isn't the worst thing in the world.
Absolutely, man. I mean, we have kids that drive Range Rovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, $50,000+ vehicles.
Right.
And you're kind of like, man, they drive a way nicer car than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want them to appreciate. We may not have the newest facilities at Memorial. We have nice facilities.
Yeah.
But we vacuum the locker room every single day. There's a standard. Mm-hmm. When we put the balls and the tees up, they're in a certain spot. And the boys know that, or there's going to be consequences. And they know how particular we are about the coaches working their tail off to mow the field and make it look, because that's a reflection on us. But we want those guys to understand, like, if an administrator walks through our locker room and they see that it's clean and it's neat, that may lead to us getting new and nicer things down the road.
Sure.
So it's just the expectation we hold our guys. But back to your comment, yeah, you know, sometimes going 0-for-3, they're going to go home to a $1 million house.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not saying all our kids are rich. We have some kids that are middle class, but we want them to appreciate what they have and not be unselfish is a big word in our culture. So being unselfish, putting somebody before yourself.
No, definitely. I love that. And that's something that, you know, we could all use a perspective, like a charge every now and then, because I complain sometimes and then Mason's like, well, what are you complaining about? Truly. Like, because 99% of the world would love to be in our position. And I've had a bad day at school, or I've had a bad day at work. And it's like, you know, what is that compared to? Like, what compared to what?
Absolutely.
Know? And so I truly like that a lot. And I may be stealing some of that from you, but you also wanted to talk about the three C's.
Yes, sir.
Hit us with the three C's.
Just culture. Well, we kind of touched base on our culture.
That's the first C.
That's our first C.
Okay.
It's our culture. We're trying to build a championship culture, and I feel like wins and losses will take care of itself after we take care of what we need to take care of. And
yeah.
Our culture is family.
Mm-hmm.
And treating each other with respect. You know, like I had a visit with I got six shortstops competing for a starting position right mm-hmm. now. And we need to communicate better. The shortstop's the guy on the field that gets the ball more than anybody else besides the pitcher and the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not communicating and being positive with the guys around him and directing people in a positive manner, he could be an energy vampire and suck the energy out of our team. So that's kind of, you know, our culture is we're going to treat each other with respect. This program's bigger than me and my coaches. We're all in this together. So mm-hmm. we use the word our program. It's not my program. It's not their, it's our program. So we work hard on our culture.
Oh, definitely. Second C.
Communication, man. That's a big one. Just think about practice. Think about yesterday's practice. If you guys are doing double cuts, when the outfielder picks up the ball, who do they throw it to? They throw it to the guy with their hands up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're taught to do. Just think about, you know, a runner on first base, an infielder covers his face, the middle infield, you know, open mouth, closed mouth. Mm-hmm. If we don't communicate at a high level, number one, you're going to screw up and you're not going to be in the right positions. But whenever you do communicate well, think about when guys have energy, they're talking, and, you know, your discipline. This is the only game in the world where the defense has the ball. So if you communicate well on defense and you put yourself in a position to be disciplined, mm-hmm. you're going to give yourself a chance to win a lot of games.
Right. And that's something that takes zero athletic ability.
Absolutely. It's just a commitment to your teammates that you want to be unselfish and you're not going to sit over there and feel sorry for yourself. You're going to put your teammates before yourself and say, hey, I'm going to help this guy out. I'm going to have energy, zero talent, putting your hands up, communicating, just like a catcher, dropping his glove, mm-hmm. drop the glove. We're going to pick. Well, if we're locked in, everybody sees that we're picking open glove. We're flashing at shortstop. Sure. That's nonverbal communication. And if you do that well, you're going to be a good team.
Well, even the guys in the dugout, do you teach them proper communication from that?
Absolutely. So our leadoff, that's his goal. I'm just using this example, sure. but our leadoff, his goal is to see 6 to 10 pitches the first at bat. Mm-hmm. Unless he gets a first pitch fastball, he's going to hammer.
Sure.
So we're going to try to see 6 to 10 pitches. But when he comes in, it's his responsibility to say, hey, he's got an arm side fastball that runs in on my hands. He's got a plus changeup, or, you know, his out pitch was a slider, man. It breaks late. So if he communicates well with his teammates, instead of feeling sorry that he struck out or he grounded out and he has a positive influence, well, guess what? My 3-hole knows that he has a plus changeup, mm-hmm. and he knows that that's his out pitch. We're going to stay back and we're going to be ready for that pitch. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get beat twice.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely fantastic. Third C.
Third C was community, man. Just giving back to your community. I remember whenever I was coming up as a young assistant, whenever I was at Tuttle, we had a big ice storm and lots of tree limbs and broke and fell in the road. And our community, like the coaches ran the chainsaw for cutting these trees up into smaller pieces. And our kids and our players, we picked them up and put them on the trailers. And, you know, we're just giving back to the community. We didn't practice those days. We didn't do anything. We were just giving back to show people, like, live your life unselfishly. I mean, help people that need your help. And, like, giving back to our special needs kids right now. We have a Miracle League baseball league in Edmond, and it's a big thing. And those kids absolutely loved when we came out and supported and watched them.
Definitely.
So,
and they probably came to see you guys.
They do. They do. You know, we're partners with them, and we want to get more involved. Like, our kids go and read to the elementary kids. They think that our high school kids walk on water.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to see our kids when they come over. So I think that, you know, we got a role in our community. We got to live our lives, number one, unselfishly, but we also got to walk in a Christian way and do things right, because we're in a big spotlight and we're role models to little people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Luke, I appreciate your time, and man, it's always a pleasure getting to catch up with you. And so is there anything else that you want to share or tell our listeners before you go?
Go follow Inky Johnson, man. He's a super, super inspirational guy. And just hear his message. I mean, he was a D1 football player fixing to go to the NFL, and God had different plans for him. He got hurt on a tackle and doesn't have use in his left arm anymore. And now he's just walking in God's light, and he's spreading the word and the message, and he's an inspirational guy. And I just want to give a shout out to my wife and kid. I'm a new dad, and I know you are as well.
Yeah, team no sleep.
That's right, man. No sleep. Kids teething right now. So
yeah, definitely. I think they're like 2 weeks apart. It's crazy.
And then Coach Draper is a week in between there.
We're
so
going to have a heck of a baseball team.
We're going to have a mad baseball T-ball team, baby.
That's right. All right, well, Luke, thanks for being
here. Hey,
man.
Thank you.
And finally, here's Ryan Phillips on controlling the baseball and empowering assistant coaches. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we've been sitting here chatting for about 30 minutes, and then I figured, well, we may as well hit record and turn it into a podcast. But
Southwest Oklahoma boys.
That's right.
It's pretty cool.
That's right. I know.
You're from Altus.
Yeah, it's Air Force, but
gotcha. You know,
so I went from Edmond to Altus. So it's kind of a culture shock, but actually, I ended up liking Altus more because of the small town feel.
I gotcha. And Altus is kind of like Hobart, where I grew mm-hmm. up. It's not exactly the most baseball capital of the world.
Right.
And so we go a little bit way back because we both played for the same summer team organization, I guess, not on the same team.
Right.
But I got to hear stories about you,
right.
which was pretty cool. But let's go ahead and let's talk about your program a little bit. And we mentioned earlier that you're really big on communication, and that's something that you really want to make sure that the kids are communicated with, your assistant coaches mm-hmm. are communicated with. So just for me, if I'm wanting to get better at that, how have you gotten better at that, or how do you do that on a daily basis?
Well, at Edmond Santa Fe, kind of like we were talking about before, you know, we just something we do every day is journal.
Okay,
and it's something that's hard to get 50 kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, at Altus, I didn't have that. I didn't know what that was about communication and how to do it. And every book we read,
mm-hmm.
as successful people are always talking about how they journal and mm-hmm. how it's a part of their day and it's a daily routine. It's not something that's easy. It becomes a skill. And so since their freshman year, we try to journal. And so we kind of talk about it before practice starts. You know, it's whether it's a question or a quote or, you know, hey, you know the practice plan. Let's go over it, talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the practice, write about it. Did you find something good? Did you find something bad?
Mm-hmm.
Did a coach give you a critique that you need to remember for the next time we go over it? And so really, that starting off with the journaling is how we communicate.
Yeah.
And to get a 15-year-old to kind of talk about it verbally is hard. Sometimes they're better at writing. So communication at Santa Fe is huge every day.
Definitely. And you said that your pitchers and catchers, they are like basically together all day long.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yeah. When we're going game day, we're lucky enough to have a weight class second hour.
Okay.
So that's the beginning of the day.
Okay.
And so our goal in my pitching coach, Caleb Teal, he was a catcher.
Okay.
And I was a pitcher. So we loved it. Like right. that's a good relationship for me and him because that's a different aspect mm-hmm. of pitching. And so that's one thing we talked about is just, hey, the communication between a pitcher and catcher, the best catchers I've had. Will tell me straight up, you know, how it's done, but they also got my back. And
sure.
So we're trying to grow those relationships.
Oh, I love that. And so you also, I didn't know this beforehand,
okay.
but we're both big fans of the Craig Rochelle Leadership
yes.
Podcast. So make yeah. sure our listeners go listen to that. But you sent in a question asking him about, can you go into a little bit of depth? Because he answered it on the show, and it's
right.
an awesome question.
Well, first off, I woke my wife up at 11:30 when I, because, you know, he does it every month,
uh-huh.
the first Thursday. So the next month after I emailed him or the Life Church, they answered it. And I woke her up. I was just listening to it on my
uh-huh.
headphone. I woke her up. I was excited because, you know, he doesn't say their name or he keeps
sure.
it pretty confidential. But I knew it was my question. And so I was super excited about that. But
yeah.
the question was actually, as a head coach, who am I leading first, my assistant coaches or the players?
Mm-hmm.
And his response was beautiful to me because it led me in the right direction. It was, you need to coach your assistant coaches first. He said, if I was sitting across from you, I would build my coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then that only helps them become better coaches, but it also, it lets me, frees me up to do things I'm good at.
Right.
You know, I'm a pitcher. I'm not a great hitter.
Right.
I got a good hitting coach in RC.
Mm-hmm.
So it lets me free him up frees me up and lets him go to work.
Right.
So now he's becoming he's having to speak. He's having to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a really good hitting coach.
Right.
And I feel comfortable with him there. We kind of talk. You know, we had an hour and 40-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we talked about. It's like
sure.
stuff that he's doing. And so not only does it give me confidence, but it gives him confidence. And then the kids respond to all of us, not
sure.
just me as the head coach. They see him as, hey, this is a guy that's in charge of hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good
coach.
At it. Yeah, really. I mean, the offensive side of it, even though I'll be at third base, he's in their ear.
Uh-huh.
You know, something. And that's just something we emphasize, just communication, even during catch.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. And I love how you're controlling the baseball, and we'll hit on that in just a second. But I also want to know, so you heard that from Pastor Craig. I heard that too. You mentioned that. It's like 2 years ago, and
right.
I remember that question.
Right.
They're like, hey, I may know that
guy. It's like a second podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what did you start doing after you heard that may have been different than what you were already doing?
I think, really, you know, we're at this clinic that that Oklahoma coaches get to go to. And then, you know, we had the national clinic the week before. It's really that time in the car.
Yeah,
it's
that's good.
It's not, true. You know, we've read books and we both read the same. It's being mind filled of and being conscious of what we're trying to do. And and really we try to do that to the kids, because if you don't have an approach and you just go in there and hit,
yeah,
you know, you're not really, I mean, okay, yeah, you're getting a hit, but I'd rather you have five swings and have an approach and be mind filled. And so that's kind of what we do as coaches when we're driving. Just, all right, let's, you know, we joke. We're not just always business, but like when you got a chance to talk about baseball with people that love baseball, like what we're doing and what you do, let's just do it. You know, let's talk about, let's be productive with our communication. And that's, you know, that's kind of how I changed from his answer. I was like, okay, that's time I have alone with them. You know, because we all have families, and so we don't want to really stay after practice that long. So these opportunities like this, a phone call or a text message or any kind of communication, that's kind of what I've refocused my mind to help lead my assistant coach.
No, I truly love that answer. And, you know, being an assistant coach, hearing you say that warms my heart a little bit, because I love having some responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
And I've worked for some head coaches in the past that have basically taken over everything. And that doesn't, that hurts my growth a little bit because it's not giving me ownership of one area. And you have to earn that,
yeah,
I'm sure, over time. But also, it's just being able to come to these and then chat about, hey, what can we steal from those guys? Because if I'm doing it by myself, I'm like, man, I have so much information that I've got in my head. But now, Coach Phillips, how can we implement some of this stuff? And and that's been my favorite part, because we went to the ABC last week, and 4 hours in the car, man, I was picking Coach Miller's brain the whole time.
Right. And, we, you know, RC, our hitting coach, like, I'll have a kid come ask me a question, and I know what we're doing, but I'm like, man, that's RC's. Yeah, that's his job. Like,
that's awesome.
That's what he wants. And he has tons of passion for it. And, you know, he was a good hitter. He knows what he's doing. He had to work for it. Much like you. Like, you just learn the game, and you can teach it well. RC does that really well, too, and better than I could. You know, and I think it is because – since I got at Santa Fe 6 years ago, he came with me from Southmore, and I kind of just gave him the reins, you know, and he's ran with it, and he's done a lot more than I ever expected him to do.
Sure. No, I love that. And so you've got 50 guys, you said, three teams. And so I want to know selfishly, because we're a 6A school too, how are you kind of breaking it up? Are you with varsity the whole time? Since you said you're a pitching guy and you're a head coach.
Right.
Really tough to do.
Yeah.
But how are you guys breaking it up? Is there three teams? They practice three separate teams? Or how does
that work? Like right now, in the fall, you know, we have the hour restriction. Okay. And so, and we talked about this a little bit. I try to keep everything real simple. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by keeping it simple, it's like, okay, we got an hour a day. I'm going to give, and this goes with trusting my assistant coaches, I'm going to give these guys to RC or Coach Tia.
Cool.
Or Coach Tony or Huddleston, whoever it is. You got these guys. You're going to work on this for the hour. You know, and I'm going to take these freshmen, and we're going to go over PFPs. Yeah. And then the next day, okay, I'm going to take these varsity guys. We're going to go over PFPs, or we're going to do bullpens or whatever.
Absolutely.
Cool. And so me trusting my assistant coaches allows me in that hour, since I can't see everybody, we really focus on certain things that I want to. Like, I want to see my freshman team be aware of the game and understand what their role is. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we'll teach that, you know, and we'll go after that in practice. Okay, I want you guys to know that you're supposed to be getting on and off the field. Like, you know, because you've seen freshman teams that come in that your place, the head coach isn't there.
Right.
And you know that's not how their coach taught them, because you know the coach.
Right.
And so I instill that stuff. So my time with them gives me comfort. And then also I get to teach them, you know, and so we all have the same philosophy.
Right. And that's – so we started a circuit at the beginning of practice now because we have three teams.
Right.
So we have 10 minutes with one coach. Then they switch to 10 minutes with another coach.
That's
and
awesome.
Then 10 minutes with another. So all of us get our hands on everyone.
Right.
And Coach Newkirk is like, I want to be able to help the freshmen. And I want them – and so – and for me – I want them to be able to hear it from him, too.
Right.
So it's not just me telling them. Yeah. It's you telling them. It's you telling them. It's you telling them. And together, they're hearing it from every angle. Not just, hey, this is what Coach Gilner said. This is what Coach Newkirk said.
Yeah.
The guy who makes out the lineup.
Right.
But this is also what everybody else is preaching, too. And so I've loved that about something that we've added lately. But you talked about controlling the baseball earlier.
Yeah. We, you know, and this goes back to working with freshmen. You know, we got that hour. And so reps are limited bullpen wise. You know, we're not trying to stay there till five. We can't. We got an hour restriction. So if you came to our practice, right after stretch or after we did our bands, we stretched and we're getting our lines. One, I assign their throwing partner, you know, so sometimes it'll be a senior shortstop with our freshman shortstop, but I try to make it to where it's a guy that can play catch, you know, and handle velocity or whatever. But you'll hear some coach say value the baseball. Now that we've done it, you'll hear the kids yelling, you know, if somebody overthrows it or whatever, it's like value the baseball. And a way they can take pride in it is, we give them a brand new baseball and that's there.
So like in August, September?
August, yeah. Okay. And now at this point, we've given them two or three, you know, because the glove wears it down itself. But if you're not playing good catch and you're not valuing the baseball, your baseball gets nasty. You know, and you know how those are. We all have them in our buckets, the ones you hit fungo with or whatever. Sure. And so if that's what, you know, when you're in Little League, you always look for the best baseball to play catch with and you want to be the first person. Well, now you got your own and it depends on how good you play catch. And so it reinforces playing catch. It gives them a little more focus and pride, you know. Pride and, hey, look, my baseball is much better than yours. Yeah, you know, it's a lot cleaner.
That's fantastic. And so what happens if they lose the baseball?
Then we know. I mean, because they don't have one to play catch with. They can't. Right. We don't just have buckets out there for catch.
Yeah.
It's their baseball. And we don't really have, I mean, to be honest, nobody has yet.
Oh,
or
really?
If they have, they went and bought their own new baseball.
That's
so I'm sure there's ways around it. But initially, they take pride. It's a competition, you know, it's just another way to compete in that hour that we have.
Absolutely. And so being a head coach that's also a pitching guy, that's got to be hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be hard. And so you're thinking about the entire program. And I don't want to say pitchers are kind of their own entity, but they're not involved with team practice a lot. I put team in quotes. But so how have you been able to still do that and still run your program? And I mean, that's a really tough balance.
Yeah, it's almost impossible without a good assistant coach.
Okay,
so Coach Teal is our pitching coach.
Okay.
And like I said, he's a catcher. So he's got that mentality as a catcher, like, all right, this is how I see. He's not going to do mechanics as much as he will do mentality. And that's what I like about him, because he'll be like, no, man, you need to be confident. You need to have trust in it. You need to, you know, because that's what he tells his pitchers when he caught in college and stuff.
Yeah.
And so then, when we're doing bullpens, if we're doing them after practice, that's when I can come in and kind of help with the mechanic part. So he's teaching us a certain way of pitching, which is great for all of them. And then I come in and do a different type of coaching. And we're not cookie cutting anybody.
Right.
You know, as long as they're not doing anything harmful, or I believe it can be harmful, and they're throwing strikes and they can do it with more times than not, then I kind of let them learn as they go. You know, just with our throwing program, when you do the Jaeger band or the Jaeger throwing program, he says you can throw from all angles, you know, because eventually it's going to sync up and you're going to be able to feel that.
Right.
So I kind of treat that the same as pitching. Like, once you feel it, then you're going to try to repeat it. And that's kind of how we grow them from freshman up.
Oh, fantastic. So you being a former lefty, did you have a good pick move?
No.
No? It's one or the other.
I was quick to the plate.
Okay.
I gave my catcher a chance. I couldn't. I don't know. There's Reed guys, I guess, but not me. So I said, since I can't do this and throw a strike, I'm just going to be quicker here, throw a strike.
Well, at least you are aware.
Yes.
Like, the big leg kick lefty guy that can't pick wears me out. Because I'm like, you're like a seven to the plate. He's standing up at second by the time.
Right. And then it's just too easy to mess with him. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime a guy's flinching, if I'm thinking about him picking and stuff, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're facing people that can run and just mess with you, and they're good base runners.
Right.
Yeah, and then you're just going to pipe one down the middle.
Right.
And he's going to be running even further.
He's gonna be jogging around the bases.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and so can you teach a good lefty?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't brag on myself, but I teach one or the other, really.
Yeah.
With these high school guys, let's be quick to the plate. Let's mix up our timing. Let's mix up our looks. Let's do a bad pick over there every once in a while. And so it's more of handling it. Okay. Right. Yeah. We'll let you know what type of runner he is. And then you just kind of get a feel for it. Mm-hmm. Don't just forget about him if you don't have a good move. Because as a coach at third, if a guy never picks, I'm going to be way more confident to call steal.
Oh, yeah.
Than if a lefty who has a bad pick, but he picks. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's really how I teach it. I don't necessarily know exactly the greatest way to do it. Yeah. Now, you know, the red flags, don't throw up your hand, you know, if you don't do it or whatever, you know.
If they're looking at first, they're going,
Don't, let's just be consistent with our eyes, sure. Pick, but ultimately get the guy at the plate.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, Coach Phillips, I really appreciate your time, and I loved having this conversation. Again, two South of Oklahoma boys, right, man, holding it down.
But, we got to stick together.
Definitely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before you go?
No, I'm just thankful to be here. I think any Oklahoma coach that has the opportunity to come here, especially a week after that, mm-hmm. like Gilman, Coach Gilman, he went in more depth than he got to in the national convention.
Yeah.
And so we're getting a little bit more. And the more you hear it, the better it is.
Right. And you get to share ideas with people that you're competing against. Yeah. Maybe still a couple.
That's right. Right. Well, I like being on the east side because there's a lot more east side coaches.
Yeah.
You know, and because last year when Stillwater is more west side, uh-huh. I kind of like seeing new faces. And
cool.
I feel like I can communicate more without them beating my brains in the spring.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ahead of the Curve. Before you go, I'd love to be able to get in touch with you, and we have several different ways of doing so. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AOTC_podcast. You can join the AOTC Coaches Facebook group, and if you want to be a part of the mini clinic emails, both of those links are listed below. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving us a rating or review to help others find and stay ahead of the curve.